Father, as always, I thank you. Shine the light in our hearts this morning from the word of God in Jesus' name. And help us, O God, put on the garment of prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'm going to, like I said yesterday, I'm going to be doing this once in a while, more often, also, you know, making up the hedge and standing in the gap. You know, I did this once before. I'll share some scriptures on what this is all about. And then we're going to turn this thing loose right here. Prayer fire this morning. Glory to God. You know, that's what we want to do here today. And I want to invite everybody, glory to God, to join us in the prayer once we get to it. You know, whether you are on stage, whether you are in the listening lounge, we're going to turn up the heat here this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, and you know what they say about the heat, right? Well, they say, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Well, the devil is the one that's going to get out this morning, because we're going to turn up the heat. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, let's get started. I'm going to share some scriptures with us, and then we are going to really pray. I want to turn on the heat here this morning. Praise the Lord. We're not going to let the devil, you know, swoop in on our territory. You know, that song said, well, he's creeping into our territory and we got to get up and pray 24/7. And nothing going to happen unless we pray. That's how it works. You know, we're not just going to fold our arms, sit back and, you know, take things for granted. No, we're going to, you know, assert, affirm, enforce, you know, the victory that the Lord already has for us. So making up the hedge and standing in the gap. What is a hedge and what is a gap? Well, a hedge is something like a fence, a boundary, or a border, you know. And the spiritual hedge that we're going to make up this morning is like a force field. It's held in place by fervent, effectual prayer for the body of Christ. That's how we do it. You know, we put that force field in place. It's a spiritual force field. And the devil knows it too when it's there. You know, oh yeah. The angels of the Lord, they know it. And the devil knows it. And, you know, we're going to put some heat, turn up some heat on here this morning. So a hedge is, you know, it's kind of a boundary or a border or fence or protection, kind of like that, you know. And what about a gap? Well, what's a gap? Well, a gap is a an opening. It's a break in something, a crack too, you know. So, you know, a gap may start with a small crack and it may get wider as things go on, or it may start big, you know, but usually when you talk of a gap, it's like a separation and an opening between one thing or the other. If you're going on a path, or you're looking at a path, and all of a sudden, you know, there's something blocking the path for several feet or several, you know, yards, and then the path continues. That's a gap in that path, or a breach. It might be a gap. If the bridge is broken at some point, you know, so you get a point on the gap. Well, the gap can also be, you know, through, so a spiritual gap can also be a separation from the Lord. You know, when people do not draw near enough to him, or when they put their hand to infirmity, I mean, to iniquity rather, you know, as it is written, you know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, we're told, well, the ears of the Lord are not deaf, and his hands are not shortened, that he cannot hear or save. But the thing that causes a gap, you know, sometimes it's our iniquities that made a separation between us and our God. So your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So that can also bring a gap. That can cause a gap. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness, you know, and so on. So, you know, many things can cause a gap, you know. And we're going to try to close the gap, make up the hedge this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read some scriptures where God's calling for intercessors. Yeah, an intercessor is someone that makes up the hedge and stands in the gap. You know, and so this morning I'm going to say intercessors wanted. You know, to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap. Well, let's read a few verses here from the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 22. Verses 30 and 31. You know, God will call point blank for the making up of the hedge and the standing in the gap. And he says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that should not destroy it. But I found none. So you see, it's like a dying species. This, intercessor thing, you know, is, you know, waning away and dying away. God is looking for someone, just one person to stand, and couldn't find it. Just one. You know, I said, well, when I couldn't find it, well, then I'm going to send destruction. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. But if you have, see, the antidote to all of that is to have people that will stand up to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap before the Lord, for the land and for the people, and so on. You know, so that's the first of the verses that we're considering this morning. You know, and let's also look at Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 5. Now, this Ezekiel and some of these prophets, they called out things like this multiple times, you know. And this one, he's talking actually against the prophets, you know, that are not doing their correct roles, you know. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Ezekiel 13 and 1, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say that unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Woe unto the foolish prophets. I follow their own spirit and I've seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. And so here's what he's going to, you know, indict them with. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither have you made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. So we see that making up the hedge, standing in the gap, is also for the day of battle, for the people of the Lord. And these are their spiritual leaders here, and God is indicting them for not doing the right thing, you know. And so we're going to call out these things today. Why is God always looking for people to pray? You know, there are some things that will not happen, you know, unless we pray. And if we fold our arms and just relax, well, the devil is going to take advantage of that situation. You know, here's what the way he puts it in Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. You know, when we are at ease, Well, all kinds of things will creep in, and the devil will sneak into our territory, try to mess with our peace, and so we must stand up and fight. Now, here are a few other scriptures to consider. We're calling for intercessors and intercessory prayers this morning. There are many things, you know, that the Lord, you know, talks about, you know, us praying for our leaders, us praying for our people, us praying for one another, and so forth. You know, Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 5. Here's another call for prayer. And after I put out all these scriptures today, then we are going to act on them swiftly. And we'll also need to remember these scriptures as we carry on our daily lives. We'll hold a prayer watch always. Now, Isaiah 63 and verse 5 says, "And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me." Now, God is always looking for someone to help and someone to uphold. We can help, we can uphold, you know, one another in prayer, the things. We can see there's a story in Exodus chapter 17. It's about upholding. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 11 through about 13, there's a story of what was happening. Let's read that story. You know, they were for, you know, Moses and the children of Israel, Joshua and everybody were fighting against the Amalekites, you know. So Moses went up to pray. Joshua went down to fight. And when Moses was there, as he held up his hand, he says, verse 11, Exodus 17, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Now, this is a good illustration of holding up in prayer. You know, when Moses held up his hand in prayer and praying over the battle, he was up. They were down the valley. And as he was able to pray, as long as he held up his hand, Israel was prevailing. And when his hands got tired and he let down his hands, when you get weary in prayer, then the enemy is going to prevail. It's just that simple. This is the illustration that we are seeing here. You know, but thank God that a couple of people spotted what was going on. Aaron and Hur, they spotted what was going on. They were able to discern the fluctuations in the battle. You know, they noticed that when Moses' hand was up, that things were going well. When he was weary and his hands were down, they began to lose. Israel began to lose. So they went up, you know, to him and propped up his hands on the other, on one side, one on the other, one side, one on the other side, and kept his hands steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Well, he couldn't have done it without those hands being lifted up in prayer. You can see how powerful, you know, prayer can be in the day of battle. You know, that, you know, the persons involved in the battle may not even be the persons praying. You know, but somebody ought to pray. Somebody got to pray. And if that person that is praying gets weary, the enemy might start to win. You know, so that's the story we see here. And then you need more help. You know, that's why that scripture in Isaiah said, "Well, I look for somebody to help." You know, that you need help. You need an assist in prayer. That's what we're going to be doing here today. We're going to give that help and assist. It's kind of like a turbo boost that we're going to give, you know, for one another and for situations that come to mind today. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, talking about the hedge. When the hedge is broken, you know, a serpent will come in and bite. Now, the enemy is like a viper. He's coiled up like that, waiting to strike. You know, I mean, he's always, you know, looking, waiting to strike, you know, and he's looking for the place where he'll find an opening, where he'll find a gap, you know, where people have gone asleep on prayer, you know, and then stick in there and strike before they know it. I mean, that he's really a wily old devil, and he's really, you know, sharp too. And he'll figure out, you know, and that's what he does. Always looking for the place where he can strike. He cannot strike everywhere, but he's always looking. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells you that be vigilant in prayer, because your adversary, the devil, you know, it's like a prowling lion going around, you know, everywhere looking for whom he may devour. Well, he can't devour everybody. If he could, he wouldn't need to look. He would just be devouring, you know, just devour everything as he goes. But he can't do that. You know, he's always looking for an opening, you know, where there is a weak, you know, a weak link somewhere in there. You know how they say that the, you know, the broken place in a link is the weakest place. You just look for that place that's a weak spot in the link, and then look for that opening where there is no guard, there's no shield, and there's no prayer. You know, and sometimes when you look in nature, you can even see it. You know, you look in nature, you see how, you know, the puma, the tiger, the lion, these animals that prey on others, you know, they're looking for food, and they will just crouch and crawl and waiting to strike. And usually when they see a herd of deer and there's so many of them clustered around and all those ones are looking out for each other, you know, and, you know, they don't know who to strike. They just be waiting. But sometimes they are real patient. I love to watch those stories. I, you know, watch them all the time. You know, and then they will just crouch and wait and sneak in and try to get a little closer until they get into striking distance. You know, but most of the time they really can't do anything. You know, when they are clustered together around that, you know, they can't do too much. But the moment they see one of them leave the herd, you know, stray off, maybe try to go down to the pond or something, and they zero in on that thing, that's it. You know, that thing is dead meat. It's over. You know, but as long as they stay clustered together like that, strength in numbers, they're praying for one another, spiritually speaking now, you know, the enemy really can't strike. But he's going to wait until, you know, there is a break, a gap in the hedge. And the prayer of saints is what gives the hedge. Your prayer over your children is what gives you a hedge. Your prayer over your families is what gives the hedge. When that thing is missing, and there's many ways that the devil try to make that thing missing, you know, create situations where you can't pray, you know, and there should never be situations when we can't pray. Or the devil will see to it and make sure you can't pray. You know, come between husband and wife, create stress or this and that, you know, make sure you're so burdened on your job, you can't even pray. You know, and everything. Well, you know, don't forget that devil does not rest. It's 24/7. And he's got a lot of emissaries too that are working for him. So you better don't go to sleep, you know, and don't let the devil get a chance. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verses 23 to 24. This is the importance that Samuel, the prophet, put on prayer for God's people. He said, the Lord forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for God's people. You know, this is the importance. He actually called it a sin against the Lord if he should stop to pray for God's people. Now, that's a prophet that knows his place. You know, that's a spiritual leader that knows their place. You got to stand in the gap. You got to make up the hedge. You know, and that's what we got to do for one another. Hallelujah. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy, even how we should extend different kinds of prayers to cover all kinds of spheres of life. First Timothy chapter 2, he says in verses 1 to 4 and also verse 8, let's read some of it. You know, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, we're going to touch briefly on these things, supplications, prayers, and intercessions. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Now, prayer. It's a call for prayer here. You know, so let's talk briefly about supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. You know, so let's talk about those things. You know, so because those are different dimensions of prayer that he is talking about. Supplications are like, you know, when we make requests, you know, it's also called prayers, you know, but when you talk about intercessions, intercession, I mean, you can make supplications for yourself, for your land, for your city. We see examples and I'll read some in a minute. You know, when you talk about prayers, prayers covers everything. When you talk about intercessions in particular, intercession is always on behalf of someone else or something else, you know, intercessions. And the ministry of intercessions and intercessory prayer, you know, those that know how to stand in that gap, you know, they are so needed. And it's perhaps the most important thing that we need in the body of Christ, you know, and they're not out there for show. They're not doing it in the public. You know, sometimes they are little even known, you know, but that a force, that a powerhouse behind anything, you know, prayer and intercession and so forth. In the book of Acts chapter 12, when, you know, when Herod got a hold of James and killed him, and he thought that it pleased the Jews, he got a hold of Peter as well. I mean, he killed James quickly before anybody knew about it. But when he got a hold of Peter, and put him in prison, supposing to bring him out after, you know, their so-called Easter at that time, and then kill him also before the people, the church got a hold of it. And when they did, they went into intercessory prayer, making up the hedge and standing in the gap and praying all night long. You know, I began to call upon the name of the Lord, you know, and, you know, it's a battle of strength, you know, who's going to come out on top? You're going to let the devil or you're going to win? You know, are you a winner? Can your prayer cause a shift in, you know, the heavenly atmosphere? Can your prayer cause a shift even upon the earth? God said to Job, he said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set that dominion upon the earth? Do you know? You understand these things? How do you do it? You know, well, when you send up prayers, you know, that's what causes a shift. You can pray, you pray until something happens. Some people say call that push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. You pray until there is a shift. That's right. There is a shift in the heavens. You know, you pray and don't stop. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. You know, don't let anything stop you. When you are praying, my goodness, you know, pray fervently, he said. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he said, pray fervently for all saints. And then there's giving of thanks. You know, we need to be thankful. You know, giving of thanks, you know, that should be mingled with every prayer. You know, it's not that, okay, when you do supplication, then there's no giving of thanks. When you do prayers, there's no giving of thanks. And when you do intercession, there's no. All of these go together. Anytime you're making supplication, there must be giving of thanks. Anytime you're doing prayers, you know, prayers are just general prayers. Supplications is when we're asking, you know, God for specific things, you know, and intercessions, of course, you're praying for someone else. The groanings of the Spirit also, making intercession for others. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. We're told that, You know, and when you really get into groanings, the real way that the groanings work is when you are standing in the gap for the body of Christ. It's not really for yourself, for somebody else, for the body of Christ, for the things, you know, that have to do with God's eternal purpose and things like that. You know, and that groanings will really kick in. My goodness. You know, Romans 8:26 will tell you about that. Galatians 6 and 2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. You know, that's Galatians 6 and 2. Bear one another's burdens. What about James 5:16? Well, say we should pray for one another that we may be healed. You know, and I want to thank everybody in this room that's been joining our prayer watch for some of our brethren that are going through health challenges. Well, that's what the Bible says. Pray for one another that you may be healed, you know, and there's something about healing and health and stuff like that, that and the role that prayer plays, you know. God never promised us that we'll never be sick. Some people think that they can go through his life without being sick. Well, you know, well, more power to you if you can. One thing God did promise, though, is that when we pray, we will be healed. You know, so I am the Lord that healeth you means that at times you will be sick. Otherwise, he will say, I'm the Lord that heals you. You know, and Psalm said in Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. So many times that we'll be sick, you know, if we take care of our health and do certain things and pray a lot, you know, maybe those times will be few and far in between, but it'll still come, you know, as long as you are in this flesh. Sometimes some of those things will come. One thing we do know is prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer of faith, we are told, shall save the sick. And when we pray in faith for one another like that, powerful stuff happens, you know, and God delivers us. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 tells us that we need to have the confidence where we are praying that God hears us and he will answer us. You say, well, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, well, here are the things that's according to his will. You know, when God has invited us to pray about something, that's exactly according to his will. You know, otherwise he wouldn't ask us to pray if he didn't want to do it. You know, so when we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And when he hears us, because of that, we know we shall receive the petitions that we desired of him. Now, no prayer is ever wasted, you know. We can find that in Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. The prayers of the saints, stored up in golden vials, released from time to time, come up before the Lord as a sweet incense, and the Lord will remember. Hallelujah. Especially when those prayers are mingled with thanksgiving and with praise. Yes. When you know how to pray and do it the right way, you cause a moving and a shifting of heaven's atmosphere in your favor. Now, David was a man that knew how to pray. We talked about Hezekiah the other day, how he knew how to make it God's fight. David also, you know, David's own thing was he knew, you know, the right words to say to the Lord, you know, in prayer. Now, he was a man that prayed all the time. He said, oh, seven times a day I pray, and so on, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, his prayer wasn't just 1 second. I say, bless me as I go, and then he's gone. Oh, no. You know, so his prayer was something else. Prayer that moves the Lord. You can read all about it in Psalm 18. I love the Lord, he said. He's my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. I mean, this man, he knew, you know, the attributes of God to call out in prayer. In him I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He knew that the way to get the victory was by calling upon the Lord. Whether he's faced with sorrows of death, whether he's faced with the floods of ungodly men, whether he's faced even with the sorrows of hell and the snares of death, it doesn't matter. This man said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard me. That's right. Out of his holy temple, my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, the effect that David's prayer had on the Lord was this shaking and moving that I'm talking about today. Can your prayer do this? Can you make through your prayer the earth to shake and tremble? The foundations also of the hills will be moved and shaken because the Lord will stand up on your behalf? Well, absolutely. If you know how to do it, you know. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured, and coals were kindled by it. You know, the Lord also bowed the heavens. The Lord can cause heavens to move. You know, came down darkness and so forth. Rode upon a cherub, did fly, and all these things. I mean, he also thundered in the heavens because of one man's prayer. My goodness. You know, if we can really learn the art of prayer and mingling praise and worship with it, we can actually get God to do incredible things. You know, thunder from the heavens gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, sent out arrows and scattered all my enemies, shot lightnings and discomfited them, channels of waters were broken up. You know, I mean, my goodness, he delivered me from my strong enemy. Prayer is what does all these things. But he knew the kind of prayer. He starts out by magnifying the Lord, by telling God how great he is, by telling God that your arm and your holy arm, your right hand have gotten you the victory, and telling God that you are the one that ruleth, that sitteth in the midst of the cherubims, and you are the one that sits and thunder with a voice. You are the one that, you know, I mean, orders the earth and so forth. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth in the earth, you know, between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. I mean, he knows how to say these things, you know, and that's how you get the Lord to move. But it starts by prayer. When we practice prayer with the art of praise and thanksgiving, and we know how to do it all the time, not just once in a while. No, devil is not working once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is not working once in a while. He's always on the prowl, looking for whom to devour, coiled up like a viper, waiting to strike with that poisonous venom. And he'll do it too once he finds an opening. But, you know, if there is no opening, if he tries to strike, he'll hit a brick wall. So we need to build a brick wall, a force field around ourselves, around our families, around our children, around the people of God. So anytime he tries to strike, he will hit a brick wall and he can't do it, you know. So that's what we need to do. And we're going to do some of that here this morning. You know, so the Lord is calling, and we are calling, you know, for intercessors here this morning. Let's look at some examples of some of those people in the Bible. You know, Abraham, you know how he interceded for Sodom. He stood before the Lord in Genesis 18, verses 17 to about 33. And God said, well, I'm going to go over there. The iniquity, the news of it has come up. You know, I'm going to check it out. So the Lord sent two angels to go check it out. And he's here. He said, well, shall I hide to Abraham from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that he's going to be, you know, the prince that inherit all things? So the Lord told him, well, I'm going to go over there and see to it that this place is leveled because of their iniquity. And Abraham stood right there before the Lord. And he said, well, will the Lord destroy the righteous with the wicked? What about if you find 50 people in there? And the Lord said, well, if I find 50, I'll not do it. Then he said, well, okay, now, what if there's not exactly 50? What if it's 45? Would the Lord, you know, be angry and destroy everybody, even though there's 45 righteous? The Lord said, I won't do it for 45. He said, okay, hold on now, Lord. Now, suppose it's not 45 and there's only 40. What about that? And the Lord said, well, if I find 40, I won't do it. And then he went on and on and on and on and on. And he just stood right. And he would tell the Lord, let not the Lord be angry. Now I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. You know, and the Lord was patient. The Lord is never angry when you are, you know, negotiating with him in prayer. He's never angry. Never think it. You know, you will have to stop first. When you stop, then the Lord will move on. But if you engage the Lord in prayer, you know, I mean, you can just engage him in prayer and don't turn loose. You don't let him go. He's not going anywhere. I mean, you know, there was a man, you know, called Jacob. I mean, he said, look, I'm not, you're not, nobody's going anywhere today until I get a blessing. I mean, it's like two of us are getting into, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to this sack race, you know, you tie your leg together in something and you're trying to drag the other person along and you can't turn loose. You know, this man, you know, in Genesis, 32, he said, look, you know, nobody is going anywhere today. You know, he got a hold of the angel of the Lord and he said, look, you're going to have to bless me. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere. Neither you nor me until I get a blessing. Now, that's some kind of prayer. My goodness. You can read that story in Genesis 32, starting about verse 24. And Jacob was alone and that wrestled a man. Well, I tell you, it was the angel of the Lord. Because if you read that story, finally, you're told that he said, you have a prince. I mean, you're a prince that has power with God and you've prevailed. So he was wrestling with an angel of the Lord right there, you know, and he said, you know, bless me. And the man said, let me go. And said, no way. Yeah, you know, nobody's going anywhere today until I get my blessing. Well, that's some prayer. You can engage God like that. I mean, get a hold of the Lord. Don't turn loose. The problem with us is, you know, we have this. You know, we run off in prayer, you know, everything's so quick. You know, somebody called it one time microwave kind of prayer. Throw it in, you know, 10 seconds later, come out. That's not going to cut it. The disciples couldn't do it. But Jesus knew how to grind in prayer. I mean, he prayed, my goodness, until blood was coming out of his forehead. Now, that's some prayer. You know, now you can go in and just pray for a few minutes and move on. You know, sometimes you haven't moved anything. You know, so, I mean, yeah, it's not every time that we can spend hours in prayer, but there are times that it calls for it. You know, sometimes you use your faith and move on, but there are times when, look, you got to come in there and dig in and dig in and dig in, you know, hallelujah, you know. So, you know, the Lord, that's what we're calling for today, you know. So let's know that when we put on our garments of prayer, don't turn loose. Isaiah 62 verse 6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, sir, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, that's Jerusalem. But what about you? What about your brethren? What about your family? What about your life that devil is trying to mess with? Well, the principle is the same, you know. So we are the standing in the gap, we're making up the hedge, you know, we are the watchman on the wall. And during your watch, don't let no devil come in and take anything. David, he was watching the sheep. You know, the lion came in, the bear came in, said, not on my watch. No way. You're going to fight to the finish. And David's going to come out on top too. Praise the Lord. He would not back down from the lion. He would not back down from the bear. Neither would he back down from Goliath. Not coming in and taking anything. And David, enough people were hanging around him. They started to be like him. David's mighty man. One man went down one time, slew 800 men. Another one went down, you know, against the lion in the day of snow, and he slew the lion. You know, I mean, you know, people, they hang around some champions of faith and begins to rub up on them. They were rubbing off on these people. They call them David's mighty men. And there were groups of them. And David was a man of war. My goodness. You know, now we need intercessors. Those that make mention of the Lord. Keep not silence. Don't give him any break. Praise the Lord. Some people think, and there are many, you know, ways that people talk about it. They say, well, you know, when you pray, just believe God and you don't need to pray again. Well, that's only partly true, but that's not accurate. You know, it is accurate to say in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus told these things so that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never give up. You pray today, come back and pray tomorrow. And mingle some praise and thanks with it too. You know, I mean, until until the Lord does the thing, don't give him any silence. I don't care how long it says, you stay right there with the Lord. You know, don't, if you turn loose and move on, or maybe you quit on the Lord. Don't quit now. Now, I don't know how and why sometimes things don't happen instantaneously all the time. I mean, it would be great if as soon as we prayed, you know, heaven door just open up and everything would just happen right there and then. And we don't ever have to pray for a long time. That would be great. But that's not the case. You know, that's never the case. You know, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. And there, even Jesus, you know, there were times that he had to be all night in the mountain when the disciples were sleeping. Why didn't just pray 1 minute prayer and move on? You know, there were times he went for 3 hours in the garden. Went back, he went, came back 1 hour later. They were still sleeping. Went again, came back. They were still sleeping. Went again, came back. I mean, why did he just pray 1 minute prayer? You know, yeah, there are times when we pray 1 minute prayer. There are times we don't even pray. We just speak the word, you know, and all these things are in the Bible, but we've got to balance everything. But then there are times when we pray, you know, and that's the one I'm talking about today. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Abraham, he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham also prayed when Abimelech tried to take his wife. Genesis 20, verses 17 and 18. Daniel, he interceded. Now, this is supplication and intercession. Interceded for his people concerning the years of captivity. We'll read that in Daniel chapter 9. Verses 3 to 19. And there are elements in supplication and intercession. You know, he put himself in line, you know, and on the line. And he aligned himself with the sins of the people. He said, we have sinned. That's how you do it. You don't stand here and say, well, you know, they have sinned. No, you know, we have sinned. That's the way you do it. When you pray for your land, if my people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We don't stand in a holier than thou posture and be praying over the land. That doesn't work. We align ourselves with it. We have sinned, our fathers have sinned, our land is corrupt, our leaders are corrupt. We are all corrupt. That's how you pray. And you say, Lord, you know, have mercy upon us. The confusion of faces have come upon us because you are a righteous God. You told us to walk in your ways, but we rejected prayer in our schools. And look at it. That what has come upon us. And you would put yourself in line. You don't pray, you know, as if you are better than them. You know, one man prayed one day. He said, look, I'm not even like that Pharisee. I mean, not Pharisee, like that publican. He himself was a Pharisee. I'm not like that publican over there, you know, who's always trying to, you know, get more money out of people, you know, and so forth. Well, I'm holy, righteous. I pray, you know, I fast twice a week. I do this, I do that. You know, and so on. You know, his prayer didn't go anywhere. You know, so that's not the kind of prayer. You know, you pray like Daniel prayed. You align yourself with the sins of the people. You call upon the name of the Lord. You stand in the gap, make up the hedge, you know, for you and whoever you're praying with, you align with them. That's why we're told that Jesus, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling. He aligned ourselves. Himself, he even took on our sins. He man that had no sin, you know, the Son of God. But yet he took on all our sins to stand before God for us. You know, and God had to deal with him for our sins. That's right. He did too. You know, so, that ought to teach us a lesson on how to pray. You know, we don't stand afar off and then begin to point fingers and then think that God's going to do that kind of prayer. No. You know, we've already read how Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses. Job, he prayed for his friends in Job chapter 42 and verse 10. We're told that, you know, I mean, there was a lot of griping and grumbling and so forth between Job and his friends. But one day when Job finally figured out that, look, let me start praying for these people who are so mean to me. You know, when he started to do that, the Bible said the Lord turned his captivity when he prayed for his friends. A power of prayer, you know. His friends were despitefully using him at the time. They were accusing him of departing from the Lord, that's why evil came upon you. I mean, you know, sin is lying at your door, they told him, and so on and so forth. You know, but he knew he had the integrity in his heart. And finally, he turned around, started to pray for them. And then the next thing you know, The Lord turned his own captivity around. Now, Paul, he prayed for his converts all the time. Philippians chapter 1, you know, verses 9 to 11. Let's read some of the his prayers, some of the ways that he prayed. We're going to look at Ephesians as well. We're going to look at a couple different places, you know, how Paul, you know, prayed for these people. You know, that he said, look, you know, he said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You begin to pray for them. That's Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Now verse 11, that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. You know, and I mean, he just always, you know, praying for the people and always standing in the gap for them. He didn't just preach to them and leave them alone. He would always pray for them. You can read verses 9 to 11, how he prayed for them in Philippians chapter 1. He prayed for them. And you can also read the book of Ephesians, you know, how he always, you know, prayed for these people. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Let's read how, you know, Paul prayed for the people. Ephesians 1, verses 15. Say, wherefore also when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you. And see, put thanks right there. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, and that you may know what the hope of his calling is, and what are the riches of his glory, the inheritance of the saints, and so on and so forth. To understand the exceeding greatness of his power, you know, which he wrought in Christ. And so, you know, just praying, always praying for the people. Same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, you know, to about 19. He prayed, you know, when every time that he had a chance, I mean, he prayed for these people. And the people that he knew had given their lives to Christ. Basically, for the saints, always praying for them. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. On your behalf, he said, you know, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in you now. I pray for their spiritual welfare, for their, you know, building up their spiritual capacity in the Lord. He prayed that God will help them to do that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, you know, the incredible vastness of the love of God. And he prayed for them and so on and so forth. And we ought to also do the same, you know, for one another. You know, Paul also asked for prayers for himself, you know, for those in ministry. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, you know, Paul would always say, pray for us. Same thing in Colossians 4 and 3. I'm just going to go through this quickly because I want to turn this into prayer. Colossians 4 and 3, same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, same thing. Paul always asking for prayers. Pray for us that the word of God may have free course and, you know, and so forth. Pray for us. Pray for us. You know, so it's an invitation and, you know, and you can turn that around as an exhortation also for us to pray for those who are in the ministry. You know, and Jesus himself, he said, you know, he prayed for Peter. You know, he foresaw some things in the life of Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. He said, Jesus said, well, the devil is coming against you, you know, and he's going to desire to have you and to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you, huh? Marco Tate, shout out to boss. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You know, so Jesus put the mantle on him again, responsibility to pray for others, just like I pray for you. Pray for others as well, you know. And that's what the Bible says also in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. If a man be overtaken a fault, so he who has spiritual, pray for him. You know, so that you may, the Lord may give you wisdom how to recover such a one. Now, Jesus, you know, he prayed for all of his disciples, all of us. He prayed, right? In the book of John 17, verses 15 to 21. Pray for all of us. Father, I pray that you take them not from the world, but that you keep them from the evil. On and on and on. And he said, look, Holy Father, keep through thy own name these whom you have given unto me. And he just, he poured out his heart. And you know how, what they say about, you know, somebody about to go to the grave and so forth. Jesus knew he was about to go. And so these things were the things. Of course, Jesus' own was not terminal, not like he'll go to the grave and not come out. He knew he was going to die and be resurrected, but he knew he was about to leave them. You know, so his own was because he was about to leave them. And he was going to pray, you know, my goodness. And just look at all the elements of his prayer in John 17. I prayed for the believers. And that includes you, and that includes me. He even argued for us before the Lord, before the Father. He said, look, they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and so on. And even as you've sent me, I've sent them. You know, and he said, look, I pray not only for these ones, but I pray for all the others who will believe on me through their word. So that means down through the ages, that prayer that Jesus prayed locally for those his disciples at that time, carried on through everyone that ever believed on the gospel that was preached about Christ. And so he prayed for us. And he always praying. And even till today, well, let's read something that may astound some of us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25. You know, let's read what it says there. It says that, you know, we have not a high priest. You know, well, let's read a little bit from, you know, those high priests were made without an oath, Hebrews 7:21. But this one, talking about Christ, was made with an oath. The oath that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much is Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And those others were truly many priests, many of them, plural, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You know, every time death got them, and so another priest came up. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able, hallelujah, to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Seeing he ever liveth. That's right. Making intercession for them. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Till today. Hallelujah. He is still the high priest over the house of God. Still making intercession. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's our call to prayer today. I've given enough scriptures and given enough admonition. But let me say this. I said all of that to say this. There's a reason why the devil is having a field day many times. Because people don't pray. Or we don't pray enough. Or we pray and then we turn loose. You know. But, you know, as the devil will have a field day. But I guarantee you something. The more we pray fervently, we're told, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, take a look at the elements and how that's constructed. In James chapter 5 and verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer. So first, effectual. It means it is, you know, laser focused. It's targeted. It's not just all over the place, you know. And it is fervent. It's not just, you know, wishy-washy. Well, if the Lord does it, fine. If he doesn't do it, fine. No. It's something that will not turn loose, you know. And then of a righteous prayer. When we are in right standing with God, you know, that kicks it into even higher gear. You know, so these are the elements. Let it be targeted, effectual. It's not just, praying. I mean, just saying, Lord, bless me. He has already blessed us. So what exactly do you need? Be focused, be targeted. Don't just ask for a stone. Ask for a bread. I don't just ask for something, ask for bread. And that way he cannot give you stone. Stone would be something if you ask for something, you know, but ask for bread and don't turn loose. I mean, you've seen the story, you know, of the Syrophoenician woman, and Jesus tried to shake her, but she wouldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Of course, the Lord knew, but you know, those stories are there, you know, for our, you know, for our lessons. You can read, it's in a couple of places in the Bible, but here's one in Matthew 15. I mean, the Lord, he tried everything. First of all, he said, look, you know, I can't help you right now because you are not of the house of Israel and I'm only sent to the house of Israel. That didn't bother her at all, you know, and then she said, the Lord told her, look, I can't take the children's meat and give it to dogs. That didn't bother her either. And she stood right there. I said, well, dog or not, you know, when the kids eat, there will be some crumbs that fall to the ground, even for the dogs. And the Lord said, my goodness, I've not seen faith like this. My goodness. Great is thy faith. You know, Jesus, he loved great faith. He didn't care for those little faith most of the time with the apostles. They're always doubting and unbelieving. But when he saw great faith, he loved it. And this woman, you could not shake her loose. You couldn't do it. You know, she stayed right there until she got what she wanted. You, nobody could, you know, even the Lord couldn't turn her loose. That's the kind of prayer, you know, that you need. That nobody turn you loose. So ladies and gentlemen, intercessors are wanted. And I want intercessors for prayer today. For yourself, you know, we make supplications, we make prayers, we intercede for others. We stand in the gap for others, for our families, for our nations, for our leaders, you know. Paul told Timothy, pray for those in authority and so forth, you know, so that we can have and live a good life. You know, God give us godly leaders, then our lives will be better all around. Physical lives, there is, or material lives, you know, and, you know, so all of these things are there. So we're going to go into prayers right now. I want to invite everyone that's on the stage to engage with us in prayer. And even those who are on in the audience, if you would like to join us, raise your hand. We'll bring you in. We need more intercessors. We're going to pray together. And the way we're going to pray is what I call prophetic prayers. What's a prophetic prayer? Well, you find what God has said and then you repeat it. That already makes it prophetic. You know, it's as simple as that. You see what God already said. And then you begin to repeat it over the lives of your loved ones, over your own life, over the life of, you know, people in the body of Christ, and begin to call the name of the Lord over people that you know that are going through and need a helping hand. The Lord said, I look for someone to help, to make up the hedge, and to stand in the gap. And that's what we're going to do today. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we are ready. I am ready to turn this thing over into a prayer fire session right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.